The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
Oops, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You're listening to the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, episode number 33. Matt here, and usually at this point I would be introducing Alex, but for this show he is in Sweden watching the Sabres, and should be back for the review show on Sunday. And I would also introduce as our reserve host Rob, but he is laid up with illness. So for this episode it is going to be a solo effort by myself. So hopefully I can keep it nice and sweet. Hopefully I don't have to rant too much. Kind of sad that I don't have anyone to actually banter with. Let's put it that way. We will start, first and foremost, with the latest Bills news. And the Bills started off the week by signing Corey Leggett from the Raiders when he was released as a free agent. Now, it's a good thing for him. He's actually a one technique, or loves playing the one technique. He was quoted as saying, a one gap penetrating defense is what I love. It's his style of defense. Now, Leggett was originally a 2011 draft pick for the San Diego Chargers. First round, round number 18, and he's 6'2", 300 pounds. Mainly his numbers, which have been 278 combined tackles, 24 sacks, 60 tackle for losses, 54 quarterback hits, 5 forced fumbles, and a 24-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown, mainly came at San Diego when he was a 3-4 defensive lineman, which saw him mainly play at defensive end, but it seems like he transitioned when he went to the Raiders after being released to a defensive tackle role, and specifically a one technique in the Raiders scheme. Now, this I actually personally love. This is someone that I actually really wanted the Bills to go after in free agency. I think it's just exactly what this front four need now, and actually make a good suitable veteran backup for Starr, who, yes, he's had his moments where he's actually been good, he's had his moments where he's been ultimately shocking, but at the end of the day, if you don't hear their name, usually it's a good sign. But with the last few games and us being 19th ranked rushing defense, allowing 111 yards per game, something had to be done, and with Corey, I think that he is going to make that difference. He's going to be a good sub-package for Starr. He's, you know, by all means, McDermott said that he's going to get Starr on Sunday, or get some time on Sunday, so we can see how he gets on. It's a move which is more underrated. It's more utilising 1 year deal, seeing what treading the three agent tyres. And who knows, he may make that impact that he may take the spot off of Starr and maybe earn himself a longer contract. But we can only wait and see on that one, to be honest. It really is up to him. He has to prove that this defence is the right style for him. Like he said, that's his style of defence. He likes to play a one technique, a penetrating defence. Hopefully, this will give him a kickstart of his career and actually help the Bills repel the attack of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, who Kitchen, the Browns head coach, actually said will play some part after he's actually practiced the last 2 weeks after finishing his 8-game suspension. Other Bills news is that Tyrell Dobson was released earlier to make room for Leggett, but he's now been re-signed after serving his 6-game suspension. He's been re-signed to the practice squad along with offensive lineman Brandon Hittner. There was already a space on the practice squad, and they released Wyatt Ray. I was thinking the WWE wrestler there. They released Wyatt Ray to make room for Hittner. Now, if McDermott actually really likes Dodson, so I think it's a good move for him. I think regardless of what has gone on with the domestic abuse, I think that McDermott took a lot of time to talk and coach, mentor one-on-one with Dodson during the off-season, during training camp, that there is something in there that, who knows, maybe he can be that next linebacker to actually take the place of Lorenzo Alexander. Time will only tell, but for now he actually gets the whole rest of the season to actually to practice, to learn a lot more, and get ready to go into training camp. So it is one for the definitely one for the future, and who knows, it could be one for right now, providing there's no other injuries. I mean, Maurice Alexander has been sent to IR, so there's potentially an opening if there becomes any more issues at the linebacker core. But we'll wait and see on that. So we move on now. We move on to the preview, is what this show really is about today. And I did have a few notes passed on to me by Alex. I will try my best to pretend he's in the room. He's given his and pretend to be Alex as well as be myself. It's probably gonna fail miserably, but hey, if you don't try, you don't know, you don't guess, all that jargon. But his main points are that the Browns have a better roster than the Bills. I mean, yes, they have Baker Mayfield, they have Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr., Myles Garrett, Larry Ogunjobi, if I pronounce that right, Sheldon Richardson, Denzel Ward, Greedy Williams, Mack Wilson, and Joe Schobert. Now, outside of those, do they really have a better roster than us? I mean, yes, those guys in the South make them a really exciting and dangerous team, especially on offense, with the likes of Odell, Jarvis Landry, and what Nick Chubb has actually done, and what Kareem Hunt has done in his time at the Chiefs. But to be honest, I don't see, outside of Ward and Williams, anything in that in the secondary that will actually scare us. I mean, especially going over the middle. I mean, yes, their front four is probably just a tiny bit better than ours, because obviously Garrett, he's just explosive, and I think it's that's going to win the battle. Is how can that offensive line hopefully repel those and open up the gaps to allow Singletary, Gore, to actually run through or go on the bouncy outside, and protect Allen from the rushing. And say Garrett, Sheldon Richardson's no slouch either, and Bills would have known him from his time at the Jets. But to be honest, that's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, that's about 11 players. That's 11 players. The rest, I don't think, you can say they are better in the roster. I mean, they're committing to starting Wyatt Teller at right guard. The same Wyatt Teller who was a 5th-round pick last year by the Bills struggled to get into the team, no matter how much the fans actually bigged him up, said he deserves his shot. He got released ultimately, landed with the Browns, started a couple of games, but apparently he's now set in that right guard position. I mean, he'll be up against, most likely going to be Ed Oliver, and Ed will have known in his time in training camp against Wyatt Teller how to beat him. And it's one of those interesting battles which could ultimately cost, in my opinion, Brown some points and even yards if he can get past them quite easily. Pick up the double teams, or Stars getting double teams. Those front four, any one of those four could get double teamed. So you're always going to have a single one-on-one if it's Wyatt Teller versus Ed Oliver, or Wyatt Teller versus Jordan Phillips, who has actually got more sacks this year than Aaron Donald. If any one of those two get lined up one-on-one against Teller, I can see them being breathed right past him, and actually Mayfield getting hit quite hard and actually and sacked, giving us great field position. Now, his next point was really the schedule. Yes, you can say that the Browns have had the harder schedule compared to the Bills. That's why they're 2-6. The Bills are 6-2. But as we mentioned in the previous podcast, it is not about the schedule on paper. On paper, you could say anything to say, yep, this one is definitely going to be this win. You're definitely going to have a win here or loss here. Just because the Bills have played the Dolphins, the Jets, the Redskins, the Bengals, the Giants, 5 wins against teams with combined win total of 5. I believe that's right, 5. Giants got 2, Redskins 1, Jets 1, Dolphins 1. Yeah, so 5. So those are 5 wins have come against a team with a combined record of 5 wins. Doesn't matter. It does not matter. You play what is in front of you. You could be up against, as you say, the Patriots. We actually played well against the Patriots. Yes, we lost, but we played in front. And look at what happened last weekend with the Ravens. They played and they actually beat the Patriots. Before that game, you would have had the Ravens down to lose. Isn't it? You, apart from Ravens fans who are probably optimistic, you go to any NFL fan last week and say to them, Patriots or Ravens, who do you think is going to win? They look at the paper and they go, Patriots. But it's not about the paper. It's about how you focus, how you execute that game plan. So regardless of the harder schedule that the Browns have, with the talent we listed, Landry, Beckham, Chubb on offense, Baker Mayfield last year was rightfully in the mix for Rookie of the Year or Offensive Rookie of the Year. You just can't go from there to where they are now just based on what's on paper. There is something deep down inside which can cause that issue. Potentially it's the coaching. Freddie Kitchener, I think within the year he's gone from an assistant coach to quarterback coach to interim offensive coordinator directly up to head coach. A transition in that short time with lack of experience. Can you say that it's his coaching style that's causing the Browns to have the issues? Is he really knowing what he's actually doing? Is he willing to give up the play calling? I know most head coaches, or especially offensive head coaches, don't want to give up play calling. I mean, McDermott eventually gave up the defensive play calling duties to Frazier. It's hard to get over, I know, but maybe that is the issue rather than the schedule. The Browns are beating themselves up because of the coaching. Now look at McDermott. He spent, about 12 years as an assistant coach and defensive coordinator before getting the head job. So he knows the plays, he knows the system. he's got that experience to jump in to become the head coach. And you can see that what he's brought, the mindset, the work ethic, the players, okay, some of them may not be world beaters, but he knows the players that he wants to get in that will fit his philosophy. Just trust the process, as he always says. Trust the process. Know your role. Know your position. Know your environment. That, to me, is where the Bills are probably better off at the moment than the Browns. Browns had a good season, or recovered well to have a good season last year, but I think it's time to tell that with the experience at coaching, regardless of how much talent they've got, is actually is probably proven to be their downfall. I mean, we give most fans now know that Allen this year will face Mayfield, obviously, this weekend. He'll face Lamar Jackson later. He may or may not face Josh Rosen, depends on what the Dolphins do for the game next week. He's already faced Sam Darnold, so he's faced, and he's going to face Mason Rudolph more than likely when they face Pittsburgh. He's faced all the quarterbacks, or the first 5-6 quarterbacks taken around him. And let's just look at this. They're billing it as Baker versus Allen. Baker Mayfield, first overall pick. Yes, last year his completion percentage was 63.8 compared to Josh Allen's 52.8. Now you're expecting second year Mayfield, after the season he had in his rookie season, to build on that. He's actually got his completion percentage now is at 58.7%. He's actually thrown for 1,963 yards, 7 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 1 rush. Now, Josh Allen, we all know last year he had his accuracy issues. He had inability to diagnose the plays, causing turnovers, interceptions and all that. Let's say his pass percentage, his percentage completion was 52.8. It's now 60.9. Yes, he's rushed. He's passed for less yards, 1,653 yards, but he's kept the ball better than Mayfield. He's only had 7 interceptions. He's thrown 10 touchdowns. He's had 4 rushing himself. And he's gone the last, 89 snaps without a turnover. Yes, you're not calling that fumble, which was recovered by the Bills, as a turnover, because we've recovered the ball. So 89 snaps, 89 plays where he's yet to turn the ball over. Now, I am not going to go back into the rant about you don't need a 300-yard passer. We did that last week. Last show, Alex gave the stats. We had our rant. I had my rant a couple weeks before that. I'm not even going to mention that anymore. I don't think it's a discussion that us fans should have. We're 6-2. I would say, this point of the season, if I went round and asked 100 Bills fans, before the season started, before we knew the results, if you could say week 10 you'd be 6-2, week 9 you'd be 6-2, would you believe me? Would you put your hands up and say yes? I'd probably say that less than 50% of you probably would have said no, you're joking, we would not be that far, we would not be at that record. Now, shoot the messenger if you want. One of the first few podcasts we did a schedule. We did a mock schedule. I think I had us at 6-2 for this game. I had us at 11-5. Just think, we are a couple of games. Win this game. Win the Miami game, which we're most likely potentially going to do with their injury issues. Got Jets last game of the season. They're struggling under Gase. They've lost to the freaking Dolphins, who were tanking. Can we call it tanking? Maybe. But the Jets lost to freaking Dolphins. There are issues on there. So that's three. If we can win tonight, or sorry, on Sunday, that's three wins. That's 9-2. Yes, we play the Jets last game of the season. Yep. Don't worry. But there's 9 wins out already. Then we just need to figure one of the last remaining to actually get us potentially in that playoff. I mean, we hold the destiny in our cards. I mean, who would have thought, say, the Ravens would beat the Patriots? Who saw that coming? Who saw the Patriots being 8-1 rather than 9-0? Anything can happen. We win those three games, you're probably knocking off the Broncos. So that's 10 wins. You're 10 wins, and you've got, what, Pittsburgh, New England, Dallas, and Ravens. 4 games left. So we're saying we're 10-2 at the moment. We have a chance to be 10-2. We have a chance to be 14-2. We have a chance to be 10-6. You pick one win out of those 4 games, which is possible, which could be the Pittsburgh game. It could even be the Ravens game. It could be it could be any one of those 4, and we're in the playoffs. So stop moaning. Stop crying with the always being conservative play calling, this and that. You want to listen to our rant and want to listen to reasons why we believe you should stop moaning that we're 6-2. Go back and listen to the last couple of podcasts where we've actually given stats and given opinions that it is a work in progress. Now, Jim Kelly, in his first couple of years, he went his first 2 seasons. First 2 seasons, he went with losing records before then getting into the playoffs and then to the Super Bowl. Josh Allen. Okay, the first season was a part, but he was actually, the second season, we're in a winning record. We're already ahead of Jim Kelly and his record. It took 4 years from when Jim Kelly joined and actually eventually came over to get to the Super Bowl. Why? How will you not say it's going to take 4 years for Josh Allen to be in the same position? Okay, maybe not the Super Bowl, but the playoffs, a couple of years running. It'll take some time, and I have faith in it. I think they're working on exactly what they want to do with Josh, trying to figure out his identity and put those pieces and plays around him to make him that type of player, make him that franchise player that you're going to see for the next 10 years. But there's me actually ranting on again, which is something I did say I wasn't going to do. The last thing to watch out for in the game, Jarvis Landry versus secondary. Now, we all remember in 2016 the crackback block on Aaron Williams, which left him with that serious neck injury, which ultimately then ended Aaron Williams' career. He also last preseason did the same move on Taron Johnson. The guy is dirty, and you know, hell no, that the secondary are going to be wary of that. Micah Hyde's come out and said it's disgusting. Lorenzo Alexander said it's ridiculous and stupid. If that was a defensive player on Landry, they'd be ejected from the game. Landry gets sweet FA. He got fined for the Aaron Williams one. He did not get a fine or a penalty for the hit on Johnson. So you better believe that the secondary are looking at Landry and looking, I don't want to say take him out, but looking to actually nullify him and actually rough him up a bit to know that he's not to mess with the secondary. You can also say that you're looking at Tre'Davious White. We're going to go into the key aspects of the game. Tre'Davious White, you're going to get him. You should and you need to get him actually following Odell Beckham around. He did that with Terry McLaughlin of the Redskins last week. He shut him down. He had, what, 4 receptions for 39 yards or something like that. If he does the same and follows Odell around and shuts him down, then they haven't got a tight end. They've lost Njoku for the season on IR. If they can shut Beckham down, even with it's just Trey, yeah, then they're going to look solely, really, at Jarvis Landry. Now, if we can get under his skin, ruffle him up a bit, you're then taking away the pressures, taking away the options, the safety nets of the wide receivers, the good wide receivers of Baker Mayfield. Now, there is a stat, I don't know the exact passer rating, I would have to do more research, and I'll probably tweet it out. I'll probably put it onto Twitter. Make sure, it's a quick plug here, make sure you are following us on Twitter, our new Twitter account for this podcast, which is at @RWBB_podcast. Follow, subscribe. So that's my shameful plug at the moment, done for that. But research by the NFL has shown that Baker Mayfield has the lowest passer rating in the NFL when he's not under pressure. He's the only quarterback with more interceptions and touchdowns when not under pressure. Maybe we don't need to put him under that pressure. Maybe it's just a case of playing how we've actually played. We've not put too many quarterbacks under pressure this year. Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe we just need to play conservative, give Mayfield time, lock down that time. If we don't get that rush on him, judging by the stats, he's gonna muck up. He's gonna actually probably throw an interception, probably lose the ball, or throw incompletions, making the Browns go 3-and-out. It's how you're gonna confuse Mayfield. Are you gonna bring the pressure? He might bring the pressure. He may then bottle it. He may actually get the pass off quickly. Who knows? But it's the confusion, and also how to stop Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Whatever they did in the second half against Redskins when they shut down Peterson for, what was it, 7 yards in that second half? Yes, the score was against them, against the Redskins, but they shut down that run. If they can bring that mentality from the start of that second half into the first half against Chubb and Kareem Hunt, then you know that you just get any sort of pressure or even no pressure on there, Mayfield will lose it. Mayfield most likely make a few mistakes, and then we're talking about how, oh really, Mayfield was the first quarterback drafted. Allen then has a turnover free game again. Then you're saying the comparison's there. Is it coaching ability? Is it focus ability? Is it all mental? We know Josh Allen has the mental side. He has the focus. He wants to work hard for it. Mayfield, in interviews, he doesn't seem to be interested. In games, he doesn't seem to be interested. Is it the fact that he's had his breakout season? Is he in a recluse or anything like that? Who knows? But this will give us a perfect opportunity to find out whether Allen is the real deal compared to his peers. The fact that he's already knocked off Darnold. He's already I'm not going to say he hasn't knocked off Rosen because he hasn't played him. But he's knocked off Darnold, who was actually drafted higher than him. If he can knock off Mayfield, if he can knock off Jackson, then you know that whether the analysts slip or not, that Allen is the right choice from us. And this is another key to the game, is how the ball can actually get the pieces into position for Allen to do that. I don't care if he doesn't get another 300 game. If he doesn't get 300 game, I don't care. The ball needs to get those positions in. He needs to make more use of Cole Beasley. He's got that skill and footwork you saw for his touchdown. They need to get him involved a lot more. I mean, use the screen game. Use McKenzie. McKenzie really caused the Redskins problems. Now, most people didn't want him in there, but in the 53 at the beginning of the season. But he provides you that mismatch opportunity with that speed. He can go on the sweep. He can go in the slot. He can go on the outside. You won't know what he's actually doing. And him being in the outfield and going in a motion on the fake jet sweep caused issues for that Redskin defense, which opened up either the run or the pass for Josh Allen. So it's the ball being clever that we need to figure out, we need to get sorted. We need him to put that perfect game plan into perspective to show that regardless, Josh can be that game manager, can be that guy to take us forward, regardless if he doesn't have 300 game. Now, yeah, and the last thing really, key, obviously, defense, stop the run. Make sure we lock down Odell, get Tre'Davious White on there, get Cole Beasley, and get more position, offensive position in place for Josh Allen to succeed better. But is to run Singletary. Devin Singletary showed that given the touches, he can make things happen. He got a total of 145 yards total rush and pass. He's used loads in the passing game. He's comfortable now catching the ball out the backfield. We know he's got that vision, the Madden style juke stick to actually juke his way out of stuff. We've got a real X factor in there that you can line him up anywhere and he'll be a danger when he's got the ball in his hands. Use him. We need to make him the number one running back. Okay, they're gonna go committee. Yes, I get it. I understand it. But you make him the lead back, give him more touches. Sure, use Gore for the short section to like third and one or goal line. Fine, use him. Just don't keep going three straight up the middle. Maybe vary it a bit. But Singletary needs to be the focal point in the running game. Because with him and with the Browns, who I believe are in the bottom four in rush defense, you're looking at a breakout 100-yard game from Singletary. So run the ball. Maybe if it is a case that they're going back to identity and they can get that run game sorted, that they can run and be game managers and waste the time through running the ball, then fine, do it. Just make sure that we keep the time possession, we keep that Cleveland defense on the field as much as possible. If we can force quick three and outs, the defense is just going to be gassed more and more. It'll also open up the deep ball, the play action passes, so the screen passes. It's the run game is important, but hey, I'm not the offensive coordinator. If I was the offensive coordinator, I would run quite a bit, vary it up a bit, but the ball knows he can call those good games. Now, the first couple of weeks, he called good games. Allen had good drives. Maybe he has been conservative. Maybe he is trying to not give away too much of the playbook now with Dallas, Ravens, Patriots coming up. But open it up. Be more venturous. But play Singletary from the start. Now, that probably was a rant. There's probably a couple of rants in there. I do apologise. I said there was no ranting. But at this point, I would actually ask Alex for his key of the games or his predictions for it. The Bills start at as underdogs, which I kind of understand, given that the talent, in inverted commas, that the Browns have. But the stat is that, I'm going to leave you with a couple of stats. The Browns are 0-3 at home. The Bills are 3-0 away from home. One of those records has got to go. Now, I believe that it will be a Bills win, maybe by the odd point here and there, but I can see the Bills coming away with the W and going to 7-2. Now, you may disagree with everything I've said in here. You may actually want to give your own predictions. I want to hear your opinions. I want to hear if you think I'm right, if you think I'm wrong. Let's have a discussion, please. When this episode goes up, please review us. Please listen to it. Take your views. Tweet the podcast and give me your views. We want to hear these views. We want you to interact with us, as we said last week. I mean, interaction is the best way to help us and the best way to tell me that I'm a complete and utter spazball, an idiot for thinking that the Bills are going to go 7-2 and Josh Allen doesn't need to pass for 300. Let's have that debate. I'll even if you give me that debate, I will put these responses in the podcast episodes. So please, follow us, a normal process. Follow us on our new Twitter account for the podcast, which is at RWBB_podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave us reviews. We want to hear your opinions on me, on Alex, on the content. We want this podcast to be for you and want your feedback. So leave us a review, continue subscribing, follow us on Twitter. But most importantly, continue support of the Bills, of the fan group, and of the podcast. So my throat's now getting a bit drier. So I'm now going to leave you with this. It's for this time, until next time. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. Keep subscribing, downloading. I would say for Alex, but he's probably celebrating, or will be celebrating, a Sabres victory in Sweden. But until Sunday, it's go Bills.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart.
You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three. Bills.